you with the correct amount.
D20 Radio, where gamers roll. www.d20radio.com.
Hello, and welcome to Eberron Renewed, an actual play podcast set in the Eberron campaign setting. I'm your Game Master, Eric.
I'm Philip.
I'm Randy.
I'm Jeff.
Welcome to another episode. Gentlemen, what happened last time?
We met our doppelgangers after turning Hob into an ostrich.
Yeah. We took a good long look in a bad dark mirror, and it's not helping.
That mirror punched Hob in the chest.
Hard.
Yep, and Milo's you know what? Been hit hard.
Dark Reynard actually wears a mask, though. Like, Dark Reynard actually makes some effort to disguise himself.
That is factual. Yeah, so we're going to pick up where we left off at the start of the second round, and we have an NPC slot. So, this Warforged, being the only active combatant still... I guess the drone that shot at you all is still flittering about, because it wasn't on the boat.
I mean, if she wants to use her maneuvers for that purpose, when her skiff is diving towards the ground, I guess she could.
So, uses a maneuver to stand up because he was knocked prone by Hob's headbutt. Yeah, I mean, the pride factor is enough. The Warforged stands back up and you hear kind of a metallic chuckle and says, "That's more like it." And he's going to punch
Hob. Flexes his metallic pecs.
Yep.
Okay. Melee defense 3, and he has a setback from being whatever, disoriented, right?
Yep. He'll aim his fist.
Fair.
Okay. The pool is 4 yellow, 1 green, 1 blue, 2 purple, 4 black. And because I'm feeling generous, I'll spend a story point to upgrade that last green to yellow to get you all another story point in the pool. 7 success, 4 threat.
Wow.
This one's going to hurt. I'm going to feel this, finally. I'm going to feel one.
Once again, no failure appearing on the negative dice in this attack.
15 damage.
Hey, now we're talking.
Rather than aiming for the chest. No, like, of course, this, like, stands back up. That's more like it. And then grabs Hob's shoulders and headbutts Hob back.
Of course.
And 4 threat, gang. That's quite a healthy amount. What would y'all like to do with it? Mechanically, you could pass a upgrade to the difficulty of the next combatant's check. I'd allow you to pass yourselves an upgrade to your next check. You could do 4 threat. You could do something narrative that is impactful. This would be like a light despair worthy amount. So from Ural's perspective, a triumph.
I don't have any good narrative ideas. It's okay with me if we pass an upgrade to whatever the next thing that one of them has to do to the difficulty. But if someone has a narrative idea, that's always more fun. But I don't have a good narrative idea for this particular moment.
Do you guys want to play psychologist for a second? Do you think Eric built these guys like our characters in the sense that 4 strain might be the worst thing we could do to this character?
Well, it depends, because like you're pretty safe on strain. Like strain to me or Milo really screws us up because we use it for so many things. You're not quite so reliant on it.
Strain is what I use to do anything to boost anything offensive, though.
I see.
Yeah.
Could be.
So he could have been using some strain to...
4 strain's a good chunk.
Also, the passing an upgrade just seems like a really smart move. Yeah, let's just do that, because I don't want to make a gamble on...
So are you passing a positive upgrade to Ural's next check, or an upgrade to the difficulty of the next enemy check?
Which would you prefer?
I was thinking difficulty.
Yeah, let's do... Okay, Randy, you good with difficulty?
Yeah.
All right, let's do that. This next NPC gets a difficulty upgrade.
Next NPC is going to make a piloting check to try and gain control of her skiff again, or at least try to... mitigate the dive, I guess.
If Alira just went out and found Dark Us to try to take out morally gray, I wish we were morally gray. We're firmly bad guys.
It's all relative, you know. From a certain perspective, yes, you all are your main drive right now is to just perform a coup for the mob, which, you know, some people might consider just plain bad, but nuance. The current mob boss wants to kill you all, and you don't like that. So
that's right. Replace mob boss that doesn't want to kill us. Probably. yet.
Okay, so normally I was going to give this a hard difficulty to try and pull this out of a nosedive upgrade from the check, and I'm going to add an upgrade also from the fact that Eris is an active control of the ship. So basically, that very much evens out the check. It's 2 yellow, 1 green versus 2 red, 1 purple.
Cool. Setback because her ship is in an active dive.
Sure. 3 failure and an advantage.
All right.
So she's not able to pull it up out of the dive. 1 advantage. She will pass a boost to the next NPC slot. And that is it for her turn. PC slot. Top of the round.
Punch him, Hob. Punch him.
Yeah, I'll punch him. Hang on. Let me see what I want to do to it, though. I was looking. He doesn't really need to do that. Yeah, I am going to. Yeah, I'll double or nothing it at least. Okay. I'm just going to punch. Standard brawl check. But
he has adversary 2. Okay. So 2 red instead of 2 purple.
Okay.
And no melee defense, though.
All right. So 2 red. So that's 2 red and 1 purple would be the check, or just 2 red, period?
Just 2 red, because it's a melee check. Yep.
And I
get, unless your double or nothing does anything in terms of the...
No, I do get a boost for being a ring fighter, and I think that is it. So it's 4 yellow, a green, and a blue versus 2 red. I feel okay. It's not going to be huge damage, but let's see what happens. Yeah. Are you kidding me? Okay. So that is not great. 1 success, 5 advantage. So that is... 2 success, 10. Yes.
Sorry, Jeff, your base double or nothing, you do have to increase the difficulty by 1.
Wait, I thought it was just, let me double check. Oh, increase difficulty. I missed it. You're right. So should I just roll a purple?
Roll a purple. See what it comes up.
So 1 success and 4 advantage. Okay. So the success means, so 2 success. So that's 9 damage. And what shall we do with 10 or 8 advantage? Use 2
10 damage. 10 damage. Does your punch have any pierce or anything?
Yeah, I am pierce 2.
Okay.
Sorry, thank you for reminding me. Is that right? Pierce 2, and where's my stupid weapon thing? There it is. Wait. I messed up. Let me try this again. I apologize.
Okay.
It's been so long since I've punched somebody. It's brawl plus my weapon damage plus number of successes, yes?
Yes.
No. So because you're using a melee weapon, the plus... Yeah, it's, yeah, brawn plus the damage.
Brawn, not brawl.
Yeah, brawn, sorry. Yeah. Brawn plus.
Brawn plus damage plus success. You are correct.
Okay, so that's 13 damage. I apologize. Okay. 13 wounds. And it is pierce 2.
Okay.
And I'll go ahead and use 2 of those 8 advantage to key monk and do it again to give him another 13.
Okay.
And I have 6 advantage. What shall we do? That's a lot, guys.
Crit?
Yeah, I was thinking that too. I can crit and pass an upgrade.
Yeah.
Let's do that.
So,
or crit and pass 2 boost, pardon me, not an upgrade.
How many advantages do you have?
I have 6. Remember, I get to double everything when I do double or nothing now.
Yeah. And so
I used 2, and you said it was 4 advantage to crit, or is it 5?
Looking at your character sheet.
Crit 3. That's right. Jeez. Okay. I'm sorry. I swear I've looked at my character sheet in the last 6 months. I don't know what's going on with me.
You're good. So you could double crit. You have vicious 2, so you could add plus 30 if you used your other advantage to double
all
crit.
All the advantage to double crit, I would add 30. Let's just do that. Let's just...
Okay.
Yeah. So...
Roll a D100.
Yes, sir. So 55 plus 30?
Yep, 85.
85.
Winded. The target cannot voluntarily suffer strain to activate any abilities or gain additional maneuvers until the critical injury is healed. Does not make sense with a Warforged, but, you know, we'll go with it. Okay.
Got some sand in his gears.
Yeah. Yeah. So what does it look like, Jeff?
The attack. I think he has stood up. I think Hob just decides, you know, I headbutted you and you headbutted me. Let's just run this thing fully in reverse, and just takes both hands and palm strikes him dead center mass in his chest.
Yeah.
I think it rattles some of his plating a bit, and maybe that's why he has difficulty maneuvering after that.
Nice. Cool.
I think he has to take a couple steps backwards, and he has to really looks over the side of the skiff like, whoa.
I like it.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
I can really paint a picture with my words, you know? And that's all I've got.
No.
Oh, no, he said.
Oh, my. I divine casters don't have a spell I thought they did.
But isn't one of these NPC slots gone because didn't one of them decide to
just the last ditch? One will just be skipped over. That part of the ability is they reserve the right to return if things start going better. So
that's hilarious. That's really funny. I'm imagining that that character simply spread his cape, turned into an actual owl, and flew away.
What am I doing? Of course. It would be notable because it's the middle of the day. I'm going to flip a story point, and you all see, as the chaos is happening around you, the other skiff has dove. You see a single solitary bat flittering off into the distance away from the fight.
Interesting.
Vampires!
And that is their turn. And the figure that left does not feel good about the idea of coming back, so skip over that NPC slot. PC slot.
Go ahead, Philip.
Who would like it? Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Ares has still got auto fire activated, so she is going to aim with the maneuver and do some shooting.
Auto upgrade because engaged with Hob.
Right. That'll probably be fine.
Probably.
A short range, right?
Wait, is this a... Yes. Wait, did you say auto upgrade?
Yeah, because you are engaged with the enemy.
Right. You also get a boost die because you and I are engaged. And that's my back-to-back thing.
Cool. We're not engaged. We wouldn't be engaged.
Oh, I thought engaged was a range thing.
It is.
We're on the boat. We're all engaged.
But I don't think so.
Okay.
You can be short range on the boat as
okay.
well.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So
I like the mindset a lot better that some people use engaged as a condition. Like you choose to become engaged with an enemy that you're within short range of just because that makes more sense to me. But sorry.
Okay.
Adversary 2.
Got it.
And that is it.
4 success and 2 advantage. So, that's funny. That's the exact result of the previous one, except no despair. So let's just do the same thing again. So auto fire activates with the 2 advantage. And so that is 13 damage, pierce 2 twice.
Okay. Eris, what does it look like to neutralize this threat from the boat?
Eris just keeps shooting shards of metal into the Warforged until it stops.
Gotcha.
Like, yeah, she is just continuing to punch as many little holes in this Warforged until it stops punching back.
Okay. So yeah, just trigger down, full blast firing. Eventually, especially since it's facing Hob, you're kind of getting some of the more wooden fibrous areas on like the underarm and the joints exposed, sinking into those. And yeah, the enemy drops to a knee, and then as Eris just continues to fire into him, eventually slumps down on the ground and ceases moving. And then there's quiet. Yeah, and after a beat, once the Warforged enemy goes down, that drone that was still kind of hovering nearby turns and zips downward.
Okay.
I mean, Eris, are you just going to continue telling this thing to nosedive until you can no longer control it because there isn't anything left to control? Or like, what's the plan?
Eris is trying to put it as far away from them as she can manage. Not being able to see it, I don't know. As soon as the Warforged is down, Eris is going to bank hard and put some space between us. No, she'll have it dive for a few more seconds. So it's way down there. And then she'll essentially command just all stop.
Yeah.
But she will have it stop at an awkwardly steep angle.
Okay.
So that it's hovering at like 60 degrees.
Yeah. Awesome.
So is this encounter over so I can heal some strain?
You all can make a recovery check to heal.
And what is that roll again?
After a combat encounter.
Discipline? Is it discipline?
Yeah. Discipline or cool check to recover strain equal to the success that you roll.
We're going to do that then.
Yeah,
and I'm going to heal 2 extra because of my talent.
And it's success for wounds, advantage for strain?
No, success for strain. You're just catching your breath.
I'm good.
No wounds healed with this roll.
But that's what's hurting me, Eric.
Yeah, that's why it's harder to take care of.
Same.
And the first healing is 5.
But yeah, I'm definitely going to take a healing
for healing potions. I believe that is true. Yes.
Do we all have potions on us?
I can't remember. Milo's
you can each take
always one. Got at least 2 on him. That's like
Just ask him. Well, if we can all take one, then I'm taking one, yeah.
Yeah. What are we doing with him? Them? What? I don't know. They're warforged.
Right. What do we So the boat has gone far enough away that it's no longer a problem. And we have an unconscious warforged. Dead? Unconscious. Unconscious.
Inactive?
I mean, Eris was filling it with bullets, essentially. Like, it did not seem like Eris was fighting to knock out. So,
I mean, Eris doesn't, I don't know, is there a setting to knock things out by shooting them with sharp pieces of metal?
Generally speaking, no.
I figure someone can repair him.
That's kind of like, does that kill a Warforged? They can't bleed out. They don't have organs.
But Warforged can die.
Yes, like, for sure. Am I looking at this guy and seeing a reparable Warforged in the limited knowledge that I have?
Here's the thing, like, Warforged aren't fully automatons. Like, they have a soul. And so once their chassis is inactive, like with the ram, like, Reynard had to use the resurrection spell to bring the ram back. It wasn't, we repaired the ram.
I'm just still trying to figure out if this guy is he dead? He's dead.
It sounds like he's dead.
It is an NPC whose wound threshold was exceeded. So unless somebody was making an active effort to not kill them.
Okay. He's dead on the ground. They're dead. Great. That's
okay.
All right. So we got to, well, then we dump him off the, who gives a crap what we do? He was going to try to kill us and we did it first. We treat him as ceremoniously as we have any other person that we've done that to.
I mean, Eris, you see that this Warforged, like, in the same way that you, like, yeah, in the same way you have helped augment Hob, like, whoever that person was with the drones and stuff has clearly done a lot of, like, aftermarket work on the Warforged. Yeah. So there is some level of,
if you want to examine him before we dispose of this body, I think that'd be a good idea, but that's what we're going to do with him.
That's fine. I don't need to. I didn't think he was dead, so I was...
Understood.
Didn't want to just chuck him off of an airship.
Sure, I think that's a good general rule.
Probably still a bad idea, because he'd hit something on the way down.
Yeah, no, you know, we shouldn't actually just throw him off the side of the boat. But do we want to take a look at this guy? For ID, if nothing else, maybe, I mean, clearly, we've got no beef with this man. He was clearly hired by someone. Perhaps there's a letter on him. I don't know. I rifle through his pockets if he has any, or his fanny pack, or the...
Yeah, I mean, he carries stuff. Hole. Yeah, rifling through, are you all still, like, moving with the flow of traffic? Or are you finding somewhere to, like...
Fine. These people are interesting. I'm spending a story point. The Warforged is disabled and not dead.
Okay. Fair enough.
I said I was shooting it until it stopped punching.
Okay, right? Fair enough.
That's what I said I was doing. I was going to shoot it until it stopped punching.
Okay, noted. Okay, so rifling through the pockets of the Warforged, you find the first thing of note that you find, you pull out a crumpled bit of paper and the flyer for the garden party is in the satchel.
Okay.
God, does everyone know about this?
And on the back of the flyer, you find, like, some notes scribbled saying exact location unknown, but we've seen them heading to this part of the city lately. You also find communication from Alira, and basically these are black lamps. Like, they are black lamps that operating underneath Alira, and they have been tasked with dealing with you all.
Well, now we know. So you just kind of leave this guy on a rooftop somewhere, or we can beam the coordinates to somebody so we still have their numbers.
Were they hired to kill us or apprehend us? Does the communication from Alira say? Just out of curiosity.
There is no instruction to bring you all in. There's no, like, apparent, like, and destroy them. But, like, yeah.
Bring me their head.
I mean, there's three of us, one of him, and he's in bad shape. And we want to wake him up and ask him. But if I was like, hey, were you going to kill us? I would also say no in this situation.
Right, no, I mean, it just seemed like useful information.
No, sure.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think we can leave him on a rooftop.
Yeah. I mean, if I was guessing, I'm sure Alira is not going to mind if we were dead.
Yeah.
There wasn't really an opportunity to use it given what he wanted to do in this particular encounter. But Eris, aside from, like, the arm-mounted piston things, which wouldn't really work on a organic being, probably hurt Hob more than it would help, you do see a like shoulder, something similar to the tubing that popped out of the drone. Mm-hmm. You see a shoulder mounted with like four little like holes. It's basically like a little like mini rocket, shoulder mounted rocket launcher, like think a la War Machine.
I take the ammunition out of it.
Okay.
You see, remove the ammunition and stick it in my yeah. pack for later examination.
You pull out three cones.
Okay. Eris will stow those very carefully and then find a convenient rooftop. Does he possess any kind of obvious communicator? Is there anything on him that looks like a communications device or a sending stone or something like that?
Does he have some copper wire?
It's wrapped around his fingers.
Because I misunderstood your intent with disabling the enemy and you flipped a story point, I'll say as part of you flipping that story point, yes, they do have a communicator on them.
I write down the frequency.
Okay.
And then once we get him onto the rooftop, Eris will get out her artificing tools. I was going to, Eris starts to like get out something she can write a note on, but there's nothing to pin it to. So she just got her artificing tools and engraves on the like the side of his head plate.
Okay.
Cool artifice, Illyra, a psychopath. Hope you're okay, Eris.
Real pot and kettle situation, calling someone a psychopath by engraving it in the body of the fallen combatant.
It'll buff out. It's repairable.
Do we need to roll to make sure
this is cosmetic?
It's fixable? Because that's
okay.
Well, I can't pin anything to him without stabbing him.
Yeah. So you all are able to leave this individual on the rooftop and take off. You do see their handle with the note that they were carrying is Blitz.
The group is called?
No. Like this individual is Blitz.
Oh, the Warforged.
Yeah.
Cool.
Okay. Headed to Tarvel.
Looks like Blitz got blitzed.
Yeah. For some reason, we all just stare in the same direction for three. Awesome.
Jump in our swamp boat and head off across the Everglades.
Okie dokie. So you all head to the Pier Lads?
Yep.
In the Greyflood District, I believe, is what we said they were located at, because that's the waterfront district. So
pier that sounds right.
Makes sense.
Sounds like the place you would find a pier.
It's right with the pier.
Okay. So, yeah, you all are able to get there without further incident. But I would like everyone to give me a hard 3 purple perception check.
Sorry, scrolling. Some successes.
Okay. Milo, take a point of strain.
Eris, you want to pass. Boost. Yeah, I'll put a boost out with my advantage.
Okay. Milo and Hob, you both, it makes sense. Eris is piloting this gift, maybe to a certain extent. Who knows? Hob, Milo, as you're looking around, you spot kind of in the distance, definitely trying to blend in with traffic, a very normal looking skiff tailing you all. Milo, this looks familiar, this skiff.
Well, Piers, who was following before, is following again.
What?
No, we just got rid of them. What?
No. You know what? If I had to guess, I would say this is somebody working with Verla, keeping tabs on us.
I meant to flip a story point for that to happen. Sorry.
If Milo points this out, we're able to see it?
Yeah. I mean, Hobbit already seen it. So yeah, Eris, you're able to clock that you are being tailed by a very normal looking skiff, but it's up a little bit higher, so you can't see who's in it from the current angle.
I mean, can't you want to take a look?
Yeah, let's. I mean, I can't see a lot of suspicion in raising up. Let's get a bundle and see who's in there.
Eris brings the ship up. Ascends. Okay. There we go.
We did just drop a body on the roof and you rode on it for a while, so going up seems way less sketchy.
They are going to make a
piloting check. We didn't drop a body on a roof.
Try and mirror your movements effectively.
We safely deposited an assailant who we didn't murder. That sounds like good citizenship to me.
It would to Eris. Yep. Okay, so they're going to make a piloting check, basically difficulty determined by Eris's piloting, which is 2 green. So
but Tasha's piloting is 2 yellow and 1 green.
Fair enough. 1 failure, 1 advantage. So they are going to, I will just pass a boost to the next NPC roll that occurs. 1 failure, you're able to, your speed with Tasha powering the skiff is a little bit too quick for them to fully mirror. So as you climb slightly quicker, you spot the top of Verla's head in the skiff.
What we did was self-defense.
Eris calls Verla.
Amazing. Put it on speaker.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, Verla. You hear some wind rushing by the communicator. Hey, Eris, what's up?
Hey, where are you?
I'm just out in the skiff investigating a case. What's up?
Eris starts waving wildly. What's she investigating?
Pre-crime.
Serial murders. So, but I will head back and leave you all to it.
Well, you gotta find that serial murderer.
Yep, that's what I'm trying to do.
Following us is not going to do it.
But I could murder some cereal right now, actually, now that you mention it.
That sounds good.
Verla, you see Verla's skiff turn out bank of traffic. Hard. And, yeah, and bank away. So.
Did that ship seem to have an attitude when it turned around? Well, I think we made a point. I'm not sure what we were trying to do, but we certainly made a point to Verla now.
Eris hangs up and goes on.
I'm glad I can be confident you did not, in fact, do the murders, Milo, or that could have been a misstep.
Okay, so you all arrive now at the Pier Lad's headquarters without any further incident. So,
well, I mean, how can we know? You lied to us last time you said without further incident. There was then another incident.
So I need everyone to make a coordination check to avoid the fireball incoming. No,
I love you all arrive personally.
Oh, yeah. Great.
So you all see Pier Lad HQ. It's as busy as it normally is, especially during the day. Nothing seems to be out of sorts. So, yeah, you see Corin in the main area kind of talking to people and directing him. You don't see Tarvel out and about, but he might very well be in his office. So
we ask, is Tarvel in the office?
Corin sees you all walking like, yeah, he's in a meeting right now. So
with who?
I don't know. He didn't tell me. But if you want to wait out here, you'll be able to see when the door opens. Corin awkwardly gestures towards Tarvel's office. He did.
Do we want to? Oh. Yeah, okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Corin. See you all. Bye. Okay.
It's always a pleasure.
We don't want to wait in case it's someone we don't want to meet, right? That's a bad idea.
Right. There are like a lot of people that have legitimate reasons to meet with Tarvel that we don't want to see.
Right, yeah. So maybe I just park us up on a roof nearby and we can watch till somebody leaves.
Love it.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Do we have a deck of cards? We may be up there for a minute.
Eris parks up on the roof and just settles into watch, I guess.
Okay. Yeah, so probably after like probably 45 minutes or so waiting.
Nerds, I won.
You see that would be the worst stakeout game because it's so fast paced and you have to pay so much attention to like five things happening at once. Yeah, you all have no idea. You look over and Tarvel's office door is open. You have no idea what happened. No. So
we're surrounded.
This is why I don't like card games.
So you all see Tarvel's door open. And out of the office, they turn and walk into the street away from the Pier Lads. You don't recognize this person.
Oh, okay.
They're fairly tall, probably about Reynard's height, but a lot stockier.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Reynard's height, Reynard's hair color, eye color, bone structure.
Dressed as an owl.
Yeah.
Keeps going, I'm Reynard.
But you might know me as Drenier. So this
personalized
person,
knife dangling loosely from the belt.
This person about Reynard's height, but a lot more muscle on their frame. You all have encountered enough people to know this person looks like they are a sailor or at least seafaring, like maybe a pirate. Like they're of the sea, but their skin seems kind of sallow a little bit. Something seems kind of off about them. From this distance, you can't quite peg anything without doing an intentional investigation, but they definitely seem a little off, and they turn and walk down the street away from you all.
Just to see if it helps at all, when Eris is trying to identify the person, Eris will get out the Fletcher and look through the scope.
Okay, you don't recognize
them. Presumably make some kind of check. Tell what's wrong with them or what species they are.
You can give me a perception check.
Okay, I'm going to have a boost from my optics.
Because I want to.
Just because you're my friend.
Two purple difficulty.
Okay. One success, one threat.
Take a point of strain.
Okay.
The success. So this person is a human. And okay. They appear human. But their skin seems, it looks like they are sweating profusely. Like they are covered in moisture. And you see along their neckline where they're wearing like a long coat, kind of piratey in attire, but underneath their collar, you see what looks almost to be like barnacle, like attached to their skin, but their clothing is covering up most of it. And they're, I'm trying to think of the right word too.
Oh, the sallow skin is scurvy, isn't it?
Yeah, right.
Using orange.
Looking closer, you can tell from their bone structure and their facial structure, a lot of their, the way they fill out their clothes, especially in the face and kind of the hands as you're examining them, isn't due to muscle structure. They seem slightly bloated.
So what you're telling me is they look drowned.
You can jump to any conclusions you want to, Philip.
Okay.
Hey, do you guys want to blow this off and follow that guy? It seems really cool.
It kind of seems like that's a drowned person who just walked. It kind of seems like Tarvel just had a meeting with someone who's drowned.
But they seem very confident. You get the sense that this person has a very high presence score.
They're very charismatic drowned person.
Interesting.
I mean, really, just like from here, I want to have a beer with that person.
Okay, we gotta focus. We can ask Tarvel about them. We'll get their name.
Yeah.
We'll call them later. Okay.
Outstanding.
We gotta go talk to Tarvel, right?
All right.
Yep.
So head back down, walk in.
Yeah, you see Tarvel's office door open, and you are able to you see Tarvel standing in the doorway talking to Corin, and he sees you all approaching, and Corin kind of gestures in your direction, and Tarvel waves is like, "Hey, I talked to you all not too long ago, so any updates on where we're at?"
I don't know. Did you just have a meeting with a drowned person?
You can't just ask that, Aeris.
Why not? It's the thing we want to know.
Let's step into, and he gestures into his office and tells Corin to go make sure the shipments are in order. Do you all walk into his office, I'm assuming?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. He shuts the door behind you all. And what now?
The person who just came out of your office was bloated and pale and seemed to have barnacles stuck to their neck.
That's a personal matter.
Sure. It doesn't have to be any of our business, he says, looking at Aeris.
Okay, I feel this is unfair. We all agreed we were going to ask about this.
No, we all agreed it was interesting. I was... You're right. You know what? You're right.
You said we could ask Tarvel about it.
We said we could get it. I did say we could get his number, and I realize now that I should, like, do air quotes anytime I'm speaking sarcastically to you, and that's on me.
Right.
I didn't mean to cause any grief. Just, yeah, it's a personal thing.
Anyway.
You have fascinating friends.
Yeah, prepared on our end to proceed.
Just because Tarvel is bad at, like, diplomacy and politics and, like, the stuff that's important to be able to run a subsection of the clan. Hob, when you say you keep interesting friends, you can tell he does a very poor attempted but poorly concealed, like, cynical chuckle to himself at that statement.
Like friends schmends chuckle?
Yeah, like the word friend is not the word he would use to describe that relationship. Sorry, Milo, what did you say?
I said we are prepared to move forward. Aeris has came up with a way to shrink someone, and we just need to figure out how you would like to do delivery.
I'm trying to remember, did you all tell Tarvel the means with which you were going to acquire Vigo? I think you all were trying to keep all parties in the dark relative to each other, I think.
Yeah, I don't think we did.
Well, I mean, I assume you all would just bring him here once you have him.
Yeah, that works.
Yeah, sure. Yes.
Okay.
We're just making sure that's all right.
Look, we're just trying to square everything away, make sure everyone is on the same page with every part of the plan. So
we don't want anyone surprised by any part of this when we show up.
I feel like I sensed a level of pointedness in the way you said that, Aeris. Is there a concern about surprise?
You're running a business, and so just like it would have been really awkward for us to walk in while you were having a conversation with whoever that was, there's probably times where it would be really inconvenient for us to show up with Vigo.
Yeah, no, I get that, yeah. Well, I can give you a coin.
We don't want you caught off guard when we arrive.
Well, I can, Milo obviously used the other coin. I can give you another coin, and you can let me know when you're on your way with him.
Okay.
Is there a particular time of day that's best for you?
I mean, it's going to make sense if we... Obviously, I'm not looking to hold Vigo here, so when you bring him, let's do the thing. And I would prefer, it makes sense for that to be in the middle of the night, because obviously Aaron will be in her cell.
Right.
guards won't be as active, etc. So
probably sounds right.
Let's say 4 in the morning.
I'll take a coin and let you know when we are on our way.
Yeah. And Tarvel like makes a fist and the smell of the briny sea hits your nose as he opens his fist and there's a coin. What?
Nothing.
Oh, Eric, doing?
I don't believe you, Eris.
I'm trying to mind my own business. That's
okay.
I do believe that. I'm not sure what's going on, but I believe she's doing her best to do that.
Is there anything that I can do on my end to help with preparations outside of letting Aaron know that the wheels are in motion, be ready? Do I need to make any prep work to the box?
We've seen the box, right? So we know that Milo in his shrunken state would have fit inside it. We're going to be sending a potion through for her to drink.
Sorry, say that again.
We're going to be sending a potion through for her to drink.
Okay.
It'll shrink her. And I mean, I don't really figure she cares about them, but her clothes aren't going to shrink. So just so that's not surprising to her, because it was surprising to Milo when I did it to him.
You tested it on Milo?
Yes, we did some testing. It works now.
What happened to Milo?
I just got really, really small.
It sounds like you got it right on the first time.
No, that was just the time it worked.
What happened to the people that it didn't work on?
I'm fine now.
You don't want to know.
No, he's fine. Look, it was more of a transformation than a smallitizing, but I'm fine.
Smallitizing than a rebeginning?
Yeah, it was more changeifying.
By the way, do you have any crickets? Okay, as long as Zaris comes through whole and healthy, then no worries here.
I expect to.
Yeah.
Yes, I mean, I feel absolutely fine.
Good. So I don't know, just a heads up, I received word, and I don't know where a potential leak exists, but I think that Alira is aware that there are factions within the clan attempting to operate independently. I think she's aware of the meeting that we had.
So sooner better.
Yeah. I think she is going to start ramping up her plans.
Yeah, we were attacked by some black lamps on the way here.
Good.
Pretty cool.
Look, you got it. They're all still fine-ish. They'll all be fine.
I mean, I would not be concerned about that. Just, I'm more concerned about the fact if they were operating broad daylight that there wasn't significant collateral damage, because they don't seem to care about...
There wasn't. No, yeah. Okay. No, it was okay. They were exclusively trying to kill us.
Well, yeah, that's good. But if they needed to explode the city block to kill you and take out a bunch of other people with you, they would have done that. So they're a sledgehammer, whereas other black lamps in the past have been more of a scalpel. So anyway, sorry that you had to deal with that.
Eris looks at Hob and Milo as if to say, is he talking about us?
That's why he said other black lamps.
I've never used a sledgehammer.
Don't need to. I got this.
That's what I call my fist.
I am.
Okay, well, if you don't need anything for me, I will. So is this tonight? Is that like...
Well, we're not exactly sure. It's going to take some, you know, getting things into position to grab him at the right time. We just wanted to make sure everything was ready on your end before we started, because... Right.
Yeah.
When they use their expertise to know when the best moment to nab him is... We gotta be that's the starter pistol, right? So
yeah, so we're good.
Tarvel's eyes kind of narrow. Who's they?
Shit. Pardon my language. I opened my dumb mouth for like the first time this session. People we trust are we can't. Viggo will run from us. We can't get him. But we have people that we trust and we know will do it without causing him more harm than necessary. Look, we're sending the guy to forever jail. I don't know how he'd be too upset about how we get him, but...
Okay, sure.
Hob wipes his forehead like a cartoon. Whew.
All right, we will be in touch when it's time.
All right, yeah. Let me know, I guess. Yep.
All right, we're off.
Excellent.
Where to?
Pursued by bear.
I'd believe it.
Yeah.
As we're leaving, wherever we're going, Milo says to Eris, you know, when I drank the potion and I was... shrank, it seemed that all I had to do was to not concentrate, and then I grew back. Could Viggo not do the same thing?
That's why we're going to shrink him, put him in a box, and send him through a teleporter.
So he's going to get in a box that he cannot. It has to be a very strong box, I would think, to prevent him from...
Yeah, if he unshrank in the middle of transportation, I cannot imagine what would happen to his body.
Yes. I just wanted to throw that out there.
So we can put him... We can make him unconscious.
Yeah, that might be
that's good probably idea. Best.
Would make that not negate... I am concerned now. I didn't... Because you see, I was an ostrich, you see, so I was not aware that I was concentrating or not on being an ostrich.
If he's unconscious...
Can he...
Well,
did we make sure that Aaron knew?
Surely that's not a flaw in my potion, Eric.
No.
Is that a flaw in my potion?
No. Like,
okay.
Him being unconscious, he will remain small until he can think to get big.
But we've made sure that Aaron knows not to think big thoughts while she's in the box, right? Did we do that?
You can send a note through...
We need to make sure Tarvel knows to make sure Aaron knows.
I'll put a little sticker on the outside of the potion vial with directions for use. This
is think tiny thoughts.
Yes, I just wanted to make sure we had all the bases covered.
Listen, at a certain point, people have got to be a little bit smart to go with a plan.
There's the flaw in Eris's potion. Right, okay,
well, that's
to Alistair.
Yeah, probably okay. So.
Top speed. Here we go.
Okay. So you all head to the now formerly Calvair's home, now Alistair's home.
Fancy place.
Fancy place. And yeah, the member of the staff answers the door as you all knock. Can I help you?
We need to see Alistair, please.
On what business?
We can't tell you that.
It's private business. Tell him.
What would you even ask? Do you know who you work for?
Tell him.
Who are you?
How shall I present you
to Alistair de Fialin?
He's Milo.
The Drainier's friends.
Hobbs here. Just say Hobbs here.
You gave me so many options. How should I choose?
Pick one.
Well, but the last thing I said was just say Hobbs here. So that's negating previous options.
Very good, sir.
This guy's the worst.
Yeah, we're not the worst. New. One, he knows who we are. Two, he knows how we are. He started this. He should have expected it.
Turn him into an ostrich.
After a moment, the figure comes back out, opens the door. Master Alistair will see you now. Any gestures for you all to enter the office?
How did he look when you said Hobbs here? Was he excited?
This is not my job to anticipate the master's emotional state for his guests.
Well, those last three words made you probably correct, but I was like, I guarantee you, it is your job to anticipate your master's emotional state. Whether it's written there or not, that is other duty as required, for sure.
Very good.
We go in to see Alistair.
Alistair is sitting behind the desk, and he kind of gestures as you all walk in. Please shut the door behind you, if you'd be so kind.
Oh, shut the door.
So, I noticed my brother isn't here with you. I'm sure he's gotten into some trouble of some kind, but are we ready to proceed?
Yes.
Good. We have been scouting the target's movements, and we are confident that we can acquire him this evening if he keeps his normal schedule. He is not a very careful man. He's rather reckless. For someone that has just gotten out of prison.
Stupid. What's stupid?
Yes. So where shall we bring him once we have him?
I describe the location of a pier, a couple piers down from the actual, like, headquarters. Because I don't want them knocking on the headquarters of the pier lads.
Yeah. Okay.
About 4 in the morning, work?
4 in the morning? Sure, we can make that.
So we can be there to receive him?
Yes. And in what state... And Alistair is taking notes while he's talking to you. In what state should
Is drugged unconscious an option?
Yeah.
That would be perfect, yeah.
Sedated would be wonderful.
Very well. And?
But alive. We already established alive.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Target is requested to be alive.
Is a demeaning costume too much?
If you provide it, then you can work
we
that
will
into.
Dress him.
Wicked kiss. Aris stops.
And then Alistair opens one of the drawers, pulls out a piece of parchment and begins writing. And you see that he is writing your all's names at the top on the top line. And then he flips it around and slides it across the desk to you all. I will need you all to sign this real quick.
What is it?
It is just a acknowledgement that in this line of work, in these type of jobs, you have requested that the target be brought to you alive. But obviously things can happen if the target resists or attempts to harm one of the agents tasked with apprehending him.
It's a waiver.
Yes, it is a waiver of liability for death of the target.
It is Eric letting us know he's going to roll to see how well this goes, and Viggo might die before we get to him.
Eric is doing no such thing. But you're dealing with one of the houses. Red tape is absolutely, like, has to be a part of this. Of like, course.
Fair enough. And sign.
Hob marks an X. Not putting my name on this.
Excellent. And then Alistair takes it looks like a paperweight. Like one of those very smooth, stoned, like domed paperweights. He grabs it and slides the paper back after the three of you sign. And he begins to like run the stone over the text on the parchment. And the text disappears with each swipe.
Nice.
To where it looks like a blank piece of parchment. And then he puts it in the left-hand drawer of his desk.
It's in the cloud.
Yeah. And synced. Okay. Well, 4 o'clock in Greyflood at the Sobart Pier, we will deliver the target, preferably unconscious but alive.
Yes.
Okay, great. Is there anything else that I should know about the job?
Don't think so.
Nope.
Okay. Any strong preference on agent?
A good one. I don't know.
Hey, wait, is that the who does it or the chemical agent you use to knock him out?
He is. Good.
Because yeah, make it taste bad.
He is specific. If you want to request a specific member of the house to execute the job.
Just somebody that's very good and very discreet.
So not Basil, noted.
Do you still have Verla's brother on retainer?
So he works for Eldarin, and I'm trying to keep this one off the books of like the higher-ups within the house. So.
Of course.
But no, I'll make sure that there's somebody capable and competent that executes this job for you. And Alistair sets the quill down as he marks which agent is going to be executing the job tonight. And then he kind of sits back and says, so I do want to ask you all, obviously this whole thing is predicated on you all in the clan not being in the best of ways right now. Are you all looking to remedy that? As you all, obviously the head of the clan wants you all for the murder of her dad.
Right.
Oh yes. Are you all definitely wanting to remedy that situation? We don't want to be on anyone's hit list.
And how do you anticipate dealing with that situation?
We are working on it.
Unfortunately, it's in a stage where we have to be discreet.
How can we help?
We're working on it.
You are
helping tonight.
Can I do a perception to see like how honest he's being about wanting to help?
How many reds is this perception going to have doing an inside check on a Fjarlan?
The difficulty will be 2 red, 1 purple is the difficulty.
Yeah. Yep. Nope.
You cannot get a read on Alistair, unfortunately.
How earnest is he being?
But you do have 2 threat. In fact, with the 2 threat, I will say, Milo.
Yeah.
You're pretty well convinced that you can't trust Alistair. Like, you think that he's being shady about something.
Oh, man.
Okay.
Oh, good.
Now, you all have signed a contract with House Fjarlan for the Viggo job. So, like, even Milo would know, like, that's kind of untouchable territory. But, like, this conversation, Milo's getting bad vibes.
Yeah. Yes. We're still trying to figure things out. It's very early stage at this point. But.
Well, let me know if you need the services of House Fjarlan to assist again. And additionally, if you all find yourselves even at the conclusion of all this nasty business with the clan, we're always open to contractors. And I trust my brother. He trusts you. So transitive property and all that.
Yes.
Well, thank you for
letting us know. Just a kind offer.
Well, let me know.
Yeah. I don't want to talk this.
Alistair gestures to the door as he pulls out some other papers.
Thank you, Alistair.
Yeah. We'll be going.
And if you see my brother, tell him to come pay me a visit. You all can come too if you want, but I need to talk to him.
If we see him.
Got it.
Toodles.
See ya in the morning.
Indeed. Okay.
Leans to Eris. That's code.
Okay. So you all, I mean, anything else that you all are wanting to do before 4 in the morning?
Pace nervously.
Yeah. Like, I just hope they don't kill Viggo.
Did either of you get a bad vibe about Alistair during that meeting? I don't know. I just got a feeling of, I don't know. It's just, I don't know if he was being entirely honest.
Wait, did you go in there expecting him to be honest?
Well, I don't know. When he was asking about what our expectations were for about us being wanted by the clan, and he was asking how could he help, and I just got a bad vibe about that. But anyway.
I mean, I can understand that. I assume he's concerned for his brother.
Oh, I assume he was looking for a way to entrap us into owing him more favors.
That possibly could have been it, yes.
That feels bad vibey, for sure.
Anyway, just thought I'd throw it out there.
Yeah, I don't think we should share with him.
No. I appreciate really your glad, vigilance, Milo.
Really glad Reynard wasn't here for this meeting, because he would have just answered all the questions.
Yeah, with his newfound loyalty.
Right, yeah.
He killed his dad and suddenly loves his family.
It's weird.
I mean,
it's weird.
Okay, so, yeah, I mean, you all pacing nervously. Are you headed back to the cauldron to kind of wait it out? Or what's the plan?
Probably. Or the sails or something like that.
Okay.
Probably need to eat at some point.
Is the sails open?
That's an excellent question.
Yeah, they probably had a limited menu for, like, after the garden party kind of thing. Like, they didn't want to pass up the opportunity to have that many people there. Soft open. So,
I mean, I'm pretty sure we'd be on the list for a soft open.
Yeah, sure. No, I'm just saying that, they probably weren't ready to open, but it was like, we have to make this work somehow.
Right.
So, yeah, so the four sales is open.
I could go for
and
chickens.
Yeah, you all go eat dinner as the sun is setting over the city of Sharn. You all see Ulfin behind the bar, tending bar, still getting acclimated to the new mobility routine that he has. Sana is darting around the tables, like taking orders as you all walk in. You don't see Ace out in the front of house anywhere, but Sana sees you all walk in and just kind of gestures like, find a table.
Eris goes to her booth, obviously.
Somebody's in your booth. It's pretty Jeez. Busy. Like there's a lot of people in the four sales.
You know, we never have eaten on deck.
Is that an option? I never thought about that.
You know, just people don't want to work these days, Jeff, so Ulfin doesn't have the wait staff to have the outdoor seating.
So you're telling me Ulfin's not paying well?
Ulfin is not paying well, but it's because Sana refuses to take his money. But
there's no
seating on the deck.
There was patio seating or something.
Yeah, there are a couple tables out in front of the restaurant. Fine. If you want to sit out.
Go there and... Eris will resume sketching on a new hand for Ulfin.
Okay.
While we wait for our food.
Do they look like they're having trouble keeping up?
Not trouble, just Sana's moving, keeping busy. So Sana comes out front and says, hey guys, what can I get you all?
I can go make my chicken if I need to.
No, it's fine.
Chicken, please. Hopkins got it bad.
I think I'll take the fish sandwich, please, and a mug of ale.
Okay.
Eris orders something light and probably kind of starchy because she's very on edge about what we're doing.
We're going to have to start paying, I think, if we're going to start taking up space and he's actually busy.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's probably good.
I always thought we were paying.
Milo's been paying the bill every time. Everyone else gets up and leaves. And Milo's like, well.
This was essentially our office. This is our work hangout.
Sana takes off back inside and probably long enough for you all to notice that it's longer than normal. She brings your food out to you all and says, here you go. Anything else while I'm out here? Eris, Cobb, do you want a drink?
Just water.
Okay.
Could you use a bit of help? I could carry my sandwich and put my ale on the bar and help somehow. Totally fine.
Don't worry about it. It's good.
Milo, she doesn't want help.
Yeah.
She wants you to not help. That's how you help. You just stop trying to help.
What about Ace in the back?
Sana, like, clearly glancing through the window at, like, all the, like, Ace isn't here tonight, but it's fine. It's totally fine.
Is Ace supposed to be here?
No, he, like, I took some time after
I can send Agric to get him.
That's not what I meant.
I appreciate everyone's input, but I promise you I've got it. Thank you.
Tea. Awesome tea.
Okay. Tea and water. I'll be back. And Sana rushes back in through the doors.
Really just two waters, but add something to mine.
Yeah.
I don't know why she wouldn't accept my help. I'm not that bad.
She's not that you're bad. She just wants to do it.
Yes. Perhaps I could barkeep for Ulfin.
Sana brings your drinks back out. And you still see some people like... sitting around post garden party, like sitting on like some little tables and stuff that were set up for the event. So there's not like a strong sense of privacy or anything. Like people are walking around Highwall and taking in the garden and taking in the neighborhood, that kind of thing. So yeah, and that's what you see. Anything else you all are doing?
Eating the chicken,
sketching.
All right,
a robotic hand.
So okay, I just wanna. There are so many things that can go wrong that are unmitigatable. Do we need to talk about? I mean, if they kill Vigo, if Tarvel gets cold feet, if Aaron decides not to come through, we just have to leave town, right? Like it's just time to go. Like I don't know.
I don't know. We haven't really made a backup plan.
No.
Doc Lantons are kind of interested in how this all falls out, so.
Yeah.
Maybe they cut a deal with us for something.
I don't know. I suddenly got nervous. But there's no turning back. Like, that's the thing. Is like, and I don't want to either.
Right.
I believe it will work.
Yes. But I think the cards have been dealt. I guess we just have to play them.
Nerds.
That's really rude in Goblin.
Oh, really?
Is that a game from your home or something?
Sure.
So, flipping my last story point of the session. We cut away to the, like, not maximum facility prison, but like the one of the higher grade prisons within Sharn. And you see Norsen Milhatch sitting in a cell, just laying on the cot. And after a moment, a figure walks up to the bars, to the door, and two hands reach up and grab the bars, and the bars begin to turn red hot as the metal begins to melt, and they pull it away. And basically, well, they also put a hand on like the locking mechanism, and the locking mechanism melts. And Norsen sits up and raises an eyebrow, and the figure steps into the cell, and you see another figure step up beside this figure, looking at their backs. And there's a look of recognition on Norsen's face as the second figure steps in. And he kind of thought this might happen. And you see him press something on his wrist, and the back wall of the cell explodes.
Norsen press something on his own wrist?
Yeah.
Okay.
And leave that scene there. The cauldron is working on her arm. She's in the chassis working on them. And the ends of the hands are like glowing brighter red, and you see like fire kind of licking out of them. And as she's manipulating, she goes to reach for something, and one of the dragon shards sitting on her workbench like starts to get pulled towards the arm, and she notices, and she thinks for a second and then allows the arm to reach over and pick up the dragon shard. And the dragon shard begins to like not melt, but like the energy of the dragon shard gets sapped out of it into the arm. And you see the energy go up and Cinder's housing at the back. And you see all of kind of react to it getting a bit more powerful. And she thinks, interesting. End of episode.
We rolled so many dice.
Hey, nothing bad happened. Nothing bad happened.
Nothing bad happened.
Thank you all so much for listening. If you want to be part of the conversation surrounding this episode, you can head over to our Discord. The link to which is on all of our socials, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter. We have a Patreon, patreon.com/thegeekpantheon. If you want to financially support the shows in any way you're able to do so, you can do so there. Or you could buy some merch at thegeekpantheon.com. There's also a YouTube channel, youtube.com/thegeekpantheon, if you want to see me talking about these stuff. And Philip's going to go now.
There's another YouTube channel called The Laughing Tree, where I run an actual play set in Stormreach using 5th edition called Kyber Shards, and Eric's a player.
That's true. Thank you all so much for listening.
In the game, not just like it's not a character quality of his.
Yeah. I'm not a player. I just crush a lot. Thank you all so much for listening. I've been your Game Master, Eric.
I'm Philip.
I'm Randy.
Jeff.
With Jeff. We'll see you next time.